I showed up to go to work, and I was met with an armada of police. I would say there were two state troopers, two state trooper cars. There was a host of Taos Pueblo government officials and Taos Pueblo police, and then there were several sheriffs. I'm kind of cold, so I'm a little slow here. Several county sheriffs, and it was my husband, Rusty Rhodes. We came back later, and he said that one of the Taos Pueblo police officers had his gun inside a holster, some kind of gizmo thing, and that it was drawn. It was not on his belt, see. Now, it was not pointed at him or anything, but, I mean, Rusty's like 74 years old. He's an old Taos artist, man. He's got tons of friends out here. And so I was threatened with arrest. I was told to leave immediately by the Taos County Sheriff's Office. And I said, why? And he said, you just get out of here, something like that, and you're ordered to go or you'll be arrested. So I was threatened with arrest. And my husband, Rusty Rhodes, was the one, when we came back later, who saw the gun. It was not pointed at him.
Gotcha. But
and
did
they
you
had a paddy wagon down here.
Jeez.
So
did you get that officer's name who said that you must leave, was rude to you, said leave immediately?
He was very rude to me. I think it was George Trujillo.
George Trujillo. We're going to have the sheriff on. He's supposed to be on today. We'll be asking about that. So that would be, you think it was George Trujillo. And there were state police, Pueblo police, a paddy wagon, and the sheriff's department for a group of old 74-year-old artists, old women, pregnant women selling their wares. This is outrageous to me. Are you going to take this back to court?
I don't know yet. I've talked to an attorney who is interested, I don't think he'd mind me saying it, Mr. Alan Maestas. I have a feeling that Representative Gonzalez has told the higher-ups to stop everything, to stop any further action. The reason we're out here today is because I was told that the Highway Department was going to do the southeast parking lot and tear it up and berm it up also today, this morning, see, but they're not here. So I'm going to sell. I'm going to set up my table and do my job and do my work and wait. We do have protest signs out here. Occupy Gorge Bridge. Let vendors sell. Remove the berms, et cetera, et cetera. But it was an armada of police, so I was pretty scared. But
well, again, if people want to support you in solidarity, they can certainly bring a blanket for you to wrap in or a sleeping bag and maybe some hot beverages and a breakfast burrito or something to eat, some donuts or something, and keep you guys warm. We did put a call into the home of Edwin Concha, the war chief who was behind the removal. I talked to what appeared to be a female family member and said he was not home and that I should call the war chief's office. We will do that next. I have left numerous messages with the Department of Transportation.
Oh, great.
And I think at this point, Roberto Bobby Gonzalez is going to be our best bet. But even if there's a legitimate claim, which a judge did say you had the right to be there, but to give you no notice and to show up with a paddy wagon and armed police officers.
Here's the sheriff. Hi, Mr. Sheriff. Hi, Taos County Police Sheriff. He's passing by. He waved. He smiled. He's not gonna remove us.
Well,
if others
want to stand in solidarity with you, we'll ask him to come out. Don, we'll try to get some more answers for you. Please call me back with updates. We'd appreciate it from the Gorge Bridge. Again, your thoughts on this, 758-5868, about the way it was handled. And again, I'm going to say this. If there was a legitimate claim, it seems to me that these two groups of people, particularly the Pueblo and these disenfranchised folks often from the west side of the gorge, the poorest of the poor. Well, the sparks are already flying. Gosh, the sheriff and I are having words off the air. Listen, you can talk to him yourself. He says it wasn't his officer who was rude to that woman. But I had to ask him if he works for the DOT. DOT requested that all of these officers come out to these vendors, and you knew that these vendors make their living out there. Did you not, Sheriff Romero?
I know there's vendors out there, yes, ma'am.
And they've been there for how long?
I have no idea.
They've been there since I moved here, so that's been 31 years.
All right.
At least.
Okay.
So when DOT asked you to come out to help, you sent how many officers?
Two officers.
And two cars?
Two cars.
So two police cars. State police were involved. Town Chief and Gladys here, you were not asked to come out.
We were not there, no.
Pueblo police.
I understand after yesterday that they were there, but we didn't know
so
that they would be there.
You weren't actually there?
No, ma'am.
All right, so I'll let the people who were there talk to you, because I wasn't right. either. And you can call the sheriff at 758-5868. He said he used the BS word to me. I questioned him on knowing that these vendors were given no notice. You don't work for DOT. You are not required when someone asks you to come out. You could have said, you know, y'all might want to give them some notice. These people make a living out there.
When we get calls for assistance, we send our units out there.
Always?
Yes, we do.
So if I call you at a party I'm having and say, I want you guys to come out and take care of parking, you'll come out?
Parking. Nancy, get real. You're just trying to make this bigger than what that is.
I'm asking you, why would you
Why would I send my guys to assist you in parking at a party?
Why would you assist DOT in
DOT
moving?
Called us, asked us if we could assist in case there was any problems.
And so they anticipated problems.
They anticipated problems, I guess.
And did you anticipate problems?
We've never had any problems there with the people.
So you're saying you heard about an argument. You said it was Pueblo police.
Yes, I spoke to my officers that were there.
And what did they say?
The lady that was there, they spoke to her, and they referred her to speak to one of the state police officers.
So you said Pueblo, so now it's state.
No, the tribal officer was arguing with her. He's the one that made the threat to arrest her.
I see.
He went over there to speak to my officers. They spoke to the lady and referred her to the state police because we are there just assisting. We weren't there to make arrests or take no paddy wagon or whatever people are saying that was there.
Witnesses say there was a paddy wagon and state police and sheriff's department and Pueblo police.
Two cars, state police and two sheriff's office. I don't know what tribal had.
So when your officers got called out, did you have a conversation with them about how they should behave if there was were interactions?
Yeah, the officers know how to behave when there's in public like that.
And what should they do?
There's always two sides to everything, and just listen to people because people are the people that are telling you what's going on.
There was a lawsuit about this, and a judge ruled that they had every legal right to be there.
I understand, yes.
You are aware of that?
Yes.
So arresting them, there's no grounds to arrest them.
They weren't arrested.
No, they were threatened with arrest.
By the people are saying, but not by my officers.
But not by your officers.
No.
So we don't know who did that.
No, we don't.
You seem to think it was a Pueblo officer.
Yes.
Okay. 758-5868. And I mean, I'm mainly questioning you about anticipating this and knowing that these folks make their livelihood out of it. And I've talked to you about this before, being proactive.
Well, Nancy, the thing is, I get papers day in, day out to serve writs on people to evict them. Do I question everything? A judge tells me and tell him, you know, it's cold now. Do I evict them? Do I have to take this from them? They don't have no money. I can't question a judge, and I'm not going to start questioning anybody.
Well, but it wasn't a judge. You don't work.
If we get an order, we'll do it. If we get requests for assistance, we'll assist them.
But I just said you won't assist everyone.
Well, I'm not going to assist somebody in a private party for parking.
Right. Or like go out to
like,
a false
like
alarm.
Like yesterday, a comment was made about us working security for the filming companies. They pay my officers overtime. They're not on duty, so it's not taxpayer money that is being paid for that.
They paid the overtime, but they didn't pay their salaries while they were there.
No, they pay the overtime because the officers that are up there are off duty.
So they're off duty?
Yes, after hours.
And so while they're on duty, they're not out there?
Officers on duty are not allowed out
there. So that's good to know. They're being paid overtime, and we only know that. But the point is, you don't work for DOT.
No, I don't.
And the Department of Transportation anticipated there would be problems.
Yes.
And I understand what you're saying. You get an order from a judge to evict somebody, and it's cold. A judge does have authority to tell you to go do that. DOT does not.
Same way any agency asks for assistance, the city were to ask for assistance, I'm not going to question them. I'm going to assist them as what they're doing with whatever they're doing.
You don't see that could sometimes be helpful to say to particularly an organization that doesn't even live here, that there are people that make their livelihood out there. Maybe there's a better way to handle it. You don't see that.
We were never told nothing, Nancy, of it going to be permanent. We were told they're going to put up barricades. They're working on that bridge now. Am I going to question everything every time they call and say, we're going to be doing this? Well, why are you going to do it? That's not my job. My job is to assist agencies and uphold the laws here in the county and state of New Mexico.
Well, if you were upholding the laws, the judge actually said they had the right to be there. So you actually should have been there for the people, the vendors, if you want to talk about upholding the law.
Okay. Well, did the judge order that we keep the people there?
Yeah, the George ordered that they have the
right. Do you have that ruling? Do you have the ruling with you?
I have the ruling that he did allow them. He said, in fact.
Who was the judge?
Paternoster.
Okay, that they are allowed to be there?
Yes,
on the private thing? All right.
So if you really want to talk about the letter of the law, you should have been there protecting those folks.
All right. Well, then I'm wrong on that part.
Okay.
All right.
Good enough. What I guess I want to say is more about who's right and wrong is that knowing that these folks were going to be sandbagged, that's the word for it. I mean, and that was the way this was played. No, I'm not stupid. These meetings were held in secret. The war chief, the Department of Transportation decided no warning to the media. I got this after the fact. They called in all the branches except the town of Taos police to come and assist in this, to sandbag these vendors. And I say that's wrong.
Well, it is wrong. You should bring that up through DOT and the tribal, not to the sheriff's office.
Well, to the sheriff, I would say I would like to see you be more proactive when you know things like that. I do bring it up to you. You did not have to do that.
If I can interject a little bit.
I want to take protests. A call first if I can. Good morning. Okay. You're on the air.
Good morning, Nancy. This is Barbara.
Hi, Barb.
Hi. Can't let you have all this conversation by yourself. You know, I don't have any dog in this race except to say, and you hit on it yesterday, there's just an attitude and a prevailing kind of police state, militaristic kind of attitude in our country. You know, they talk about keeping the peace. When you show up armed and dangerous and trained in how to hurt people, and then you have unarmed citizens, this is happening way too much. It's not a question of, did you know this? Did you? It's this aggression toward American citizens. And there are ways to peacefully do things, and then there are ways to instigate trouble. And there is problem with several officers' attitudes about people, but that is inherent in our system. It's more military than public servant today. You know, when I was younger, we had public servants, and they were your neighborhood police. Today, on the least infraction, they want to slam you down, start yelling at you, treating you like a criminal before you even have a chance to go to court.
I want to say there are ways, and I'll have the chief jump in here, because you dealt with the protesters at Gay Pride, where there was an anticipation, obviously, that there would be trouble. And this trouble could have been prevented. And I'm not laying that squarely on your shoulders. I'm not. The DOT had a responsibility to say these are people who make a livelihood out there. If there's a legal right or a safety issue, give them some notice. And yes, I do. I guess I would have liked for you, Sheriff, to be more proactive, to at least have had a voice in it, not just to blindly follow order. And it's not even an order. You do not work for the Department of Transportation. And to at least have had that input, because you know your community. And you know these folks are going to be upset when they're displaced, because they depend on that to eat and feed their children. Does that make sense? No, this is for you, Sheriff.
Oh, I thought you were...
No, this is okay. For you.
You know what, Nancy, like I said earlier, I was called to assist. I'm going to send my officers up there, because the easiest thing, I don't send my officers out there, something happens, straight out coming to me saying, why didn't you send somebody out there to assist? I'm not going to second guess, or I'm not going to question anything.
You're not going to question anything.
If I get called to assist on something that, say, a big bar fight, and I say, well, they have their own security, and I stay back, somebody gets injured, somebody gets killed, the liability is going to fall back on me, because I should have sent some units to assist.
I understand that there's a fight, there's already an incident, but this there wasn't an incident. And what I think our last caller was saying, and I agree, is that you already know these folks out west of the gorge feel left
That's
out.
Right.
And I've asked you before, can you get proactive? Can you meet with these folks? And this would have been a prime opportunity to say to DOT, you know what? These folks are going to be really taken aback by this. This is going to be a hardship for them. Could we give them notice before we come out there looking like a band of an Army battalion?
Nancy, it wasn't a band of Army battalion. My officers didn't respond both together right behind State Police. They got there at different times. One of my officers got there half hour later. We never had any weapons drawn. I asked my officers any weapons were drawn by any other agencies. They didn't see it because they weren't there by the tribal. What tribal did or what other agencies did, I can't answer for.
Well, I think you answered the question. You don't question anything. Chief Anglotti, you wanted to make a comment.
I've handled many protests over the years at the state capitol here in Taos. And, you know, no officer wants to be put in the middle of two opposing sides. That's the last thing that an officer wants. And I think it's unfair to demonize all police officers based on the actions of one, two, even with the nationwide Occupy protests. You know, you've got a handful of police officers making wrong tactical decisions, but then people demonize police officers in general. And I think that's really unfair to do that. There's always more than one side to a story, and it's unfair to really project one side.
Of course, there was no other story. There was no other story in Davis, which you were not there, but we all saw that story. That officer, these folks were on their knees.
Totally the wrong tactic.
Yeah, and we're seeing a lot of that.
Sure.
We saw a veteran, a decorated veteran, being shot by police officers with rubber bullets. So we've had a lot of these images. And what I'm saying is, I do think it's the responsibility of our police force to be proactive when you know there's going to be trouble, to say, let's circumvent this. Let's do something else. The sheriff doesn't see it that way. We can agree to disagree. Good morning. You're on the air with us. And who's this, please?
Yeah, this guy from the TCA. They said they put lights up in that parking lot.
Oh, God, okay. I'll get back to that. Still no lights in the parking lot. What's going on?
We've told them, Gabe.
All right, Gabe, they've called them, but you keep at them. What did they say when you call them?
They were going to put lights out there. I've told the buildings and grounds supervisor, Ron Ershawood from the TCA is aware of it as well, and he's asked for the parking lot lights to be replaced also.
I'm sure you guys know that, you know, that just the presence of a police officer. I mean, I've seen one, you know, we all know. I come from a family of cops and firemen, so this is not new turf for me. But you've got pepper spray, you've got a weapon that can kill, usually one or two. You have something that you can knock somebody's brains out with. You're in full uniform. You have radios. You've got handcuffs. You look like RoboCop, and it's intimidating. You're talking about a 74-year-old man who makes jewelry. You're talking about a 67-year-old woman who's selling pinon nuts. So I sometimes want to say to you, to all officers, your presence is scary to a lot of people.
Sure, but and if you think of the hundreds of thousands of police and citizen contacts that go on daily, 99.99999% of the time, we're doing the right thing. Things are going great. People are treated.
I don't know about that statistic, but I would grant you the majority of the time.
You never hear about the good part. You just hear.
I don't think that's true either. I think that it's important because you have the weapons, that you also have the sensitivity and the responsibility to avert violence when you can. And that's where I had take issue, that this could have been handled differently. I'm extremely disappointed with the Department of Transportation and their secretive way of doing this and sandbagging the folks out there. They deserve decency. They did not deserve to be talked to that way by a guy with a gun. I'm sorry if it wasn't your officers.
That is right, and that's what I'm saying.
And you're saying it wasn't your officers?
No, it wasn't.
I can't
people should not be threatened like that. Either you get out of here, do this, or we're going to arrest you.
No.
You start doing that, you can create problems for the rest of the people that are there.
You don't deserve to have a gun or a badge if you don't have the right temperament. And a lot of people, frankly, should not be cops. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, Nancy. This is Sarah, and I've been vending out there for 10 years now. I've raised 5 children from the income coming out of off the gorge. And I'd like to say that now we have no income because of that. My husband has no money coming in. We have no place to vend. And not only that, I mean, these people are not telling the truth. I've seen the pictures. There were paddy wagons. There were guns. There were people out there harassing this young lady. You know, I mean, it was just ridiculous.
Well, will you have those pictures posted to my Facebook?
I'm sure we can have them posted.
It's Nancy Stapp. Let's get them up. I'll put them on our
morning.
And were you there? I mean, again, the sheriff is saying he didn't have a paddy wagon. He sent 2 officers, and his contention is neither one of those officers threatened anyone or drew their guns. I wasn't there. I heard other people say that the Puebla police were heavy-handed, threatened to arrest them, and one witness said, and this is allegedly, that his gun was drawn. Not pointed at him. They made that clear. But when I'm saying again, police, sheriff, you guys need to know how friggin' intimidating you are. And when you're coming out to a place where you got Sarah, a woman who's selling, what do you sell?
Oh, I sell jewelry and
I mean, these are
there.
Like people that are like soft and you know, they're unarmed and they're selling their wares. Your very presence is threatening. There was no need, and it did look like an army to people. Sheriff, I'm sorry, but when you've got all of your cars lined up with lights going and you've got guns on and all that equipment, it's scary, and especially when you've got somebody talking to you in a rude way.
And then they didn't even want their pictures taken. Now, what does that say? I mean, what does it say when they're like, oh, you can't take our picture? Well, why? Why can't we take your picture? Why can't we take your picture? Because you're not here?
You absolutely can. That is freedom of speech. And I'll tell you what, that's why we're finding out things that happened today, because people have cams on their phones. So if anybody has those and they want to post them, do. This could have been handled in a completely different way. Sarah, thanks for your call. Oops, we lost you. 758-5868 is the number if you want to call. And again, I can't get I've got a call back from the Department of Transportation, still waiting for their account on that. I know you do training, and you talk about your officers know what to do, but did you have any conversation with these 2 officers before they went out?
No, I didn't.
None?
But, it's within the last 2-3 weeks, we're having our biennium training, and, you know, they carry their tasers, they carry their mace. We have to get shot with a taser, and we have to get maced before we can carry that. And after you've been tased one time and maced, you second guess using that weapon. You think of how people are going to feel when you use it. And when I had to get tased and maced, it makes you realize, you know what, that's just something to assist you at a later time.
Let's take another call that's coming in. Good morning. You're on the air with Chief Anglada from the town who was not involved with this, Sheriff Romero, who did have 2 officers out at the gorge when they booted the vendors. Who's this?
Hi, my name's Patricia.
Hi, Patricia.
How are you all doing?
Good.
I was kind of to say, I think incidents like this are the exception and not the rule.
Mm-hmm.
One thing for sure is that I would not be a law enforcement officer or a school teacher or working in the school systems for love or money. They are the most disrespected jobs in America, in my opinion. I know that when law enforcement is there, when we need them, they come and they're professional. And they are well trained. When you see things like the hate, the way they sprayed all those people, the pepper spray, that's blatant abuse. But that is not that's not the exception.
I would agree. I think it is.
Yeah.
But because
and
of
when
their
you see what little they have to work with. I don't know how people are ever going to be satisfied with anything, Nancy. I mean, what happened out at the Gorge, like I said, that is probably the exception and not the rule.
Well, and that's true, and that's why we're talking about it. And I think
what I hate is how everything, the media focuses on these horrendous situations involving law enforcement officers, but they don't, I mean, you don't ever hear about the lives that they've saved.
Well, see, I disagree with you. I disagree on that.
There's so many things that they do.
I actually disagree. I think that we
don't really believe that the amount of sensationalism that's drawn on the good things, it comes even close to what the media represents on the bad. And I'm not saying you yourself. I'm saying overall.
Yeah, I've got another call coming in, but I'm going to say I actually do disagree with that. I think that it is the media's responsibility to hold those in power, and that includes you guys carrying guns, to a different standard. You must be held accountable, and it is the job of the media. So, Patricia, we disagree on that. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, there's a question that I haven't heard raised yet. As I understand this, Judge Ortega made the first ruling in favor of the vendors. As I remember, the state police then appealed to the district court. Judge Paternoster upheld Judge Ortega's ruling and remanded it back to Judge Ortega. What legal actions are open now to the vendors, and why haven't they been pursued? It's not the policeman and the sheriff. Who are...
All right, hold on just a second on that one. I've got another call. I can't answer all of that. I think it was Judge Paternoster, actually, who made the ruling that they had the right to be there. And you have to turn that radio down. Turn that radio down. Good morning. You're on the air. Who have I got here?
Good morning. This is Rusty Rhodes.
Rusty, you are the witness.
Thank you very much for letting me talk with you. And I'd like to point out that that ridge area does not belong to the Indians. The state got a deed to it. It is not a lease. We own it. The state owns it. Taos Pueblo does not own it. And I hear a lot of confusion about that. And I'd like for that to be very, very clear.
Well, it isn't. Rusty, you are the one man I need to talk to because the sheriff is here, and your wife earlier said that it was a sheriff's officer who was so rude to her. He's saying it was not his officer. It was a Pueblo officer. You're the guy who said somebody's gun was drawn, so I need to hear from you. What happened?
When we went back to talk with the police chief, and the chief, of the war chief had been with him, and the assistants to the war chief were still standing there and advised us that the two chiefs had left, but he had his pistol drawn. This pistol was wrapped in a camouflaged holster that is separate from the belt. He was holding it in his pistol. He did not point it at me, but it was only 5 degrees difference, and that's what I saw.
And that was Pueblo police.
That was something to do with the Pueblo.
Okay, so the sheriff was not involved with...
No, ma'am. The sheriff is always nice to us.
The sheriff from the tribal, they're also there.
Okay, the tribe has their own sheriff. You can say that on the air.
All right.
Yeah, the sheriff is saying they have their own. But as far as the county sheriff, there were two there, and they did not treat you disrespectfully. Well, I'll tell you, if there's one guy you can count on, it is Roberto Bobby Gonzalez. He not only listens into this show every morning, he takes action. And yesterday he was also expressing concern and giving out telephone numbers to me. I really think you should get a producer's salary for helping me out. Our state representative, Roberto Bobby Gonzalez, with updates on the vendors who were given no notice, cement barricades, and a whole lot of armed police officers showed up. And one witness said that there was even a gun drawn, not pointed at him, but drawn by Pueblo police. This is heavy-handed if it's true. And Representative Gonzalez, I know you've had some concerns, too. Good morning.
Good morning, Nancy. And just wanted to give you an update from our conversation from yesterday.
Thank you.
Just a few minutes ago, I did speak to the governor's office, and I didn't speak to the governor herself, but I did speak to the chief of staff, who is Keith Gardner, and basically briefed him, you know, up to date, you know, with all the information that we have. And, you know, I just told him the direction that this thing was going, and it just wasn't good for anyone. And so he assured me that they're going to revisit the whole thing as soon as possible and give us an update on, you know, what decisions can be made. But I just told him the full thing, you know, and he seemed very proactive. And he said, I myself, you know, when I've been there at the bridge, I purchased from some of his vendors. And, you know, let's see where it goes from here, but the governor's office is informed and the assurance that they're going to revisit the whole issue.
Now, again, when you talked to the governor's office, who was it that you spoke to?
Keith Gardner, who is chief of staff.
I'm so glad to hear that the chief of staff at the governor's office actually appreciates the vendors and has actually purchased things from them. And I think this whole thing could have been prevented with a little sensitivity, but it seems like, from what I understand, the war chief and some members of the Department of Transportation were hell-bent on getting these folks out of here without any notice. And they did anticipate trouble, and they did request the assistance of state police, Sheriff's Department, and Pueblo Police, and there was, according to now several witnesses, a paddy wagon, if you will, on scene. Now, you're talking about a 74-year-old guy who makes jewelry and pregnant women, people with children out there. This just seems heavy-handed.
Well, and, Nancy, another point that that I pointed out, and if this is something that has to be revisited, you know, legislative or new policies and procedures or a new statute, but you know, as we travel throughout the state, especially in the interim committees, you see vendors everywhere, and so where is the consistency, you know, if we're doing this, and maybe for whatever reasons, whenever this right-of-way easement procedures were placed, but seeing the where we are today, you know, with the economic situation in the country, and just you know, I take my hat off to anyone that tries to just help themselves financially, you know, if it's a small business, medium business, large, or like this individual as artists or craftspeople, you know, if they can't or if they don't support themselves, then that's just another part that government has to come through, you know, to assist all these individuals. And you know, I'm feeling positive about it, and I hope that we can work with it. But I do have several other phone calls that should be returned back to me very soon, and see where we can go on this.
Really appreciate your time and energy in it, and I know that the folks in the Gorge do too, or the vendors. And I think for every working person, for those who care about dignity and human rights, if it is true that that the Pueblo officers treated these people disrespectfully, I mean, you got to remember, when you have a gun, there's a real power discrepancy in handcuffs and billy clubs. I mean, it's an honor to wear that badge, and if you don't have the temper for it, you don't deserve to be there. And these are people, now you've just said it, who will now possibly slip into the ranks of the unemployed, the food stamp lines, maybe not even able to feed their families this month. They deserve some notice.
Yes, you know, I wholeheartedly agree with you know, everything that you have mentioned, and you know, there's always a much better way, you know, of handling things, and by far, you know, I hope that we can come to a good resolution, and let this be another learning experience behind us.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I appreciate your efforts, as always. Your representative, Roberto Bobby Gonzalez, and do you feel okay about giving out your number?
Yes, that's fine, Nancy.
What number should you? Yeah, well, how can they reach you?
It's area code 575-751-1467.
All right. That's the kind of politician I like to hear. Proactive. 751-1467. Your state representative makes me proud. We are back, and I've been looking forward to this interview, and I really appreciated that Juan Concha reached out to me. And I want to pass on to you what he said to me, and I think it's important. He does not speak for the Pueblo or his father. He speaks as one man from the Pueblo about a situation that has caused a lot of, I think, confusion, animosity, one group against the other. And I was out there the other day, and I was looking at all the layers of the Gorge, layers and layers and layers. So much history in that geologic formation, and it's one of the wonders people go visit. And I thought, that's about as many layers as the story has. Because you get one person's opinion about it, and then you hear somebody else's. So I thought we'd get Juan to talk a little bit about it. There has been a perception by some of the vendors, now not all of them. Keep in mind, some of the vendors are from the Pueblo. Some of them are from the West Gorge. Some of them are from here. It's kind of a ragtag team. It's not very slick of people selling stuff from jewelry to piñones. To lemonade. So Juan, when you called me, you said, I want to come on. My dad is the war chief. He's gotten a lot of flack, especially in horse. Well, they don't call it that anymore. What's Whaley's rag called now?
Online? Oh, I'd rather not.
Well, anyway, it's it's one of those online deals where it's easy to take pot shots at people. We haven't done that here. We have talked to the Department of Transportation, and here's what I understand. The Pueblo owns that land. They leased it. I do have those documents to the Department of Transportation to run a road and to maintain that bridge. And they got a big grant. It's been ongoing. Who was there first? The vendors. Now, we do have laws in New Mexico that protect vendors, hence the jerky guy up on the, you know, I'm not to pick on him. But we got a lot of, I don't mean to pick on anybody. I like to see chili ristras for sale and stuff. So, Juan, when you called me, why did you do that, and what was it about this story that made you want to speak out?
Well, before I get into that, let me just first apologize to my dad, because I know I shouldn't be fighting his battles for him. You know, I shouldn't be here right now. So,
does he know you're here?
No. Out of respect for him, I got to tell him that I'm sorry. You know, first of all, but because he told me not to get into this. But when you call my dad a disgrace to his people.
No, not me.
No, not you.
No.
When it's out there, I can't let that go.
Yeah, that was Bill Whaley. I want to be really clear that not all members of the media treated this story the same. So Bill's known for his personal attacks on people. But that's harsh. That was my dad. I'd be mad too.
Right. And then that's basically what I wanted to say is that, you know, I mean, he's not. I mean, there's some, I mean, a lot. I mean, I'm reading through his website publication, and a lot of it, yeah, you know, is in a certain kind of type that, you know, says, shows that it's opinion, that this is Mr. Whaley's opinion. Now, Mr. Whaley himself, I mean, I just won't even touch on that because it wouldn't be right of me. I mean, some of this stuff in here is actual, you know, tries to make it look like it's really fact, like it's a real news article, saying that my dad was out there for several days, several times since March, glowering at the vendors. Mm-hmm. No. My dad, yeah, I'll be the first one to tell you that my dad is hard. He's very strict. I mean, he's probably the strictest guy I know without a military background. You know, he's tough. Yes, he's a tough old dog. Yes, yeah. He is. And rightly so. And first, and saying that he's the war chief right there, he's the war chief. His main charge as war chief is to protect our land. Mm-hmm. That is his main charge. And that's all he's doing. Now, the fact that the state and Mrs. Martinez, I won't call her a governor because I won't, Mrs. Martinez waits till the last minute. Now, even in this this website thing, it states in there, and it is fact, that my dad has been trying to do this since March. Mm-hmm. The vendors know that.
Which is to remove the vendors from that piece of land. Is that what you mean?
Yes, basically, yes. So, and it's not necessarily the removing of them. I mean, it's they've been out there for 30-plus years. And for 30-plus years, they even said it themselves. And I've spoken to several vendors. Of course, I feel really bad about that because they didn't know I was the war chief's son. But I've spoken to several vendors over the last couple of weeks since this happened. And my dad isn't trying to cut you off or I mean, when we bring this up at the dinner table, sitting there on the couch, I mean, the look in his eye when it comes around to this, I mean, really, he's not attacking free enterprise. It's not about that. It's not about removing a handful of people from their livelihood, as they've so eloquently put it in so many different ways. You know, it's not about that. He's not trying to cut you off. You go out there today and walk 100 yards in either direction away from that highway, across that fence line, there's litter, there's trash, there's garbage all the way through the chamiso that way, all the way through the sagebrush. And it was kind of an unspoken thing that the vendors, and even though actually it has been spoken, they've said it themselves, they police themselves out there, they take care of it, they maintain it. Mm-hmm. They maintain that little patch of dirt that they sat on. Mm-hmm. But anything, a cup, a candy wrapper that had blown across that fence line, they wouldn't even reach out to pick it up from there. Right from the fence line, all the way back it starts, and it goes 300 yards deep. Now, as for my dad saying that, you know, it's because of the bighorn sheep that are there, the bighorn sheep area, I think, is pretty big for, you know, I mean, reintroducing the species to the area, which is really what we're in the process of doing with that. They're being reintroduced. They're in a transitional phase. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not a permanent staple yet. They haven't really established this land as theirs. You know, they're transplants, just like many of people in towns. Mm-hmm. So they're getting used to it. Now, you go down there, and Mr. Whaley himself has contested to this fact, and my dad, not being the Grinch that he's been made out to be, didn't take pictures or didn't, you know, get any hard evidence of this. But yes, there are little places where you can see where people have laid out potato chips, laid out little dishes of water for them, trying to entice the animals to come closer to the bridge area. Mm-hmm. That's a no-no. When a species is being reintroduced to an area, you can't do that kind of thing. That's like feeding the bears at Yellowstone.
That's a good point. Okay. I had not thought about that.
To say that, you know, my dad has no evidence of it and has no proof of it, of course he doesn't. Because he's not that kind of person to go say, oh, well, look at this. Mm-hmm. No, because he's not against the vendors. It's really just the use of the area as this kind of like, not necessarily a dumping ground, but, you know, they took care of the area where they were vending, but anything that blew past that, they just left it, and that's the issue.
I will say I did get some letters from vendors saying make sure and tell Juan that the vendors are not against the Pueblo, and I don't think anybody's speaking for anybody here, but a lot of them were very worried that you thought they were blaming the Pueblo. Maybe some are, but not all of them. And I understand there are some Pueblo vendors out there, too, people from the Pueblo. I just am wondering if there's any solution. Like, I think about where the restrooms are on the other side, and now it looks like the Department of Transportation is looking for maybe a different spot for these folks to be. And do you, because I know you're not speaking for anybody but yourself, would you have a problem with that? And I hadn't even thought of that. By the way, I want to get back to it, of trying to entice those animals. It's another thing you have to remind people, don't do this.
That's the bad part, because if the vendors themselves are the ones that are policing the area, they're trying to sell these people something. I don't think they're going to be really too keen on the idea of going up and saying, hey, don't do that.
Right.
I mean,
but they need to be aware of that this is the worst possible thing you can do for a wild species. So is there any compromise? I mean, and maybe there isn't. It's for this area. This is, I'm thinking about that now. The DOT, the Department of Transportation, is saying they are going to look at other possibilities.
Well, I think the improvements to the area that the state is supposed to make. Mm-hmm. Now I got to remind you there that what was said in the in Mr. Whaley's publication about the Pueblo having nothing to do with the plans or anything that's going on, or the work that's being done out there, that's true. We ain't got nothing to do with none of the work that's going to happen. But being that the state is in this kind of matter sort of like our tenant, they had to get the okay from us to be able to do this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is okay. We'd like to see it prettier out there. I mean, right now it's just a dirt patch next to a very, very, you know, I don't even, I'm supposed to be the poet, and I'm not anymore, so I don't even know how to say it. It's a very beautiful area. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, you know, maybe a sidewalk with some grassy knolls, park benches, even some picnic tables down in that area, so you don't have to walk so far from the rest area. Mm-hmm. The rest area, I mean, it's nice, but man, it's way up there. So I don't know if it's going to really, I mean, I don't know what really would benefit the vendors other than maybe, this is the part that I question about the vendors themselves out there. And this is kind of my own little personal, like, I wonder, you know, when these things come up and I read about these things and I hear these things and I pay attention to these things, inside my own head, I question, why would the vendors stay out there for 30 plus years? I mean, isn't the idea behind being an artist supposed to get yourself into like a gallery, get yourself set up, you know, be recognized and make millions of dollars, you know, per canvas, per piece of artwork that you make? I mean, why is it necessary to operate way out there for such a long time? I mean, some of the vendors that I spoke to say they've been out there for 30, 35 years. And I'm like, wow, you're still out there.
Well, listen, I had a call and they seem to have hung up. You can call us. This is Juan Concha talking about a different point of view, which has already opened my eyes. I don't know about you. 758-5868. I have had the great pleasure of seeing those bighorn sheep on canoe trips. And it's magnificent.
Yeah, they're cool.
And the idea that people would be trying to bring them in for photo ops or how cool.
Oh, well, why not, though? I mean, I would.
Well, but you see, but because it could kill them. I mean, feed.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, in my ignorance, I would be like, oh, look. Right. Let's get a. You know, maybe, I mean, even when you're driving down the highway or over the pass to like TA or Chama,
crazy.
You stop and you want to take a picture with the elk.
All right, let's get a phone call in here, Juana. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. Who's this?
Ken.
Ken, go ahead, please.
Yes. This man's father has declared war on my living. So guess what?
Well, I don't
right
think
back at you.
I don't think that's really what's happened, Ken.
The hell, that isn't what happened. I haven't got a place to vend anymore. So
yes,
war.
And
let so me, it's war.
Okay, I'm not going to go there with you. You know what? That kind of attitude right now, right there. Is what's going to get us nowhere. I just have to tell you that. It's, I think to start to look at compromise and to say, look, it may not be the best place. You are this isn't your land, by the way. Hello, you're on the air. Who's this?
Gabriel.
Hi, Dave. Go ahead.
Hey, the public's liable for... anything that happens there, too, do these vendors have insurance or anything, or vendors insurance?
I would bet not, but we'll ask Juan what he knows about. That's a very good point. And Juan, you had a couple of comments there. You respond. That kind of makes me mad. I got to tell you, Ken, that kind of attitude is not going to go anywhere with me. Juan, go ahead.
Well, I'll let Ken fester for a little bit. For the gentleman, Dave... the vendors are there without paying any kind of fee to be there. There's no policy. There's no regulation. As it's been said before, and as I just got done saying, the vendors, quote unquote, police themselves out there. So, no, there's no insurance for them. And, yes, the Pueblo, I think, probably might be liable if one of them were to get hurt out there.
Well, as far as I know, I'm on public property that's been leased there.
Right. That's all true.
I'm not going to go into that issue, but I think the Indians do have a... I mean, I love the Pueblo in a certain way. I don't have any beef with the Pueblo. I mean, with Edwin Concha, well, he's a man, he's a war chief, and this is the repercussions of the actions he took. I'm sorry to say, it's like... It's sometimes it's easy to get hostile and get into a conflict, get into war, and then you have to deal with the repercussions. It's a lot harder to make peace than to make war when you're angry. I mean, I speak that not just even on an individual level. You have a fight with your spouse. You know, it's very easy just to say a few words in anger and get something going, and then making peace.
Did he ever have angry words with you?
No, but I...
Well, just no. So, no. No, no. He did not have angry words with you.
No.
Okay.
But the basic way this was handled, I would say, one, you know, the whole thing of the litter issue, okay, he came and told us to pick up litter. We did. And then he told us it wasn't good enough, and we weren't allowed to go back behind the fence and pick up litter. I mean, that...
All right, let's get an answer to that. David, you're taking a good chunk of time. I'm going to give some other folks a chance, okay? I'm going to have one answer to this. It was my thought, too, and I want to say to David's defense, I would be reluctant to climb a fence or to go over a fence that I knew was on, for sure, Indian land. I see signs that say Indian land...
Don't trespass.
I don't go.
Rightly so.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead, please. Your name?
Hi, my name is Jan.
Jan, go ahead. You're talking with Juan Concha and Breakfast with Nancy, of course. And
Hi. Thank you. I appreciate this opportunity. I used to be one of the vendors, and I have real issue with a lot of what Mr. Concha is saying here. There was an issue about the trash, and people made a really aggressive effort when we were there to clean up. However, we were forbidden and threatened with fines if we crossed the line behind the fence, if we went back there to pick up trash.
By
so
who? Who threatened you?
What he's saying is really...
Wait, who threatened you?
People from the Pueblo.
How do you know they're from the Pueblo? I mean, tell me, did you actually get their names? I just want to make sure we're not spreading rumors.
I don't know. I mean, I know who Pueblo people are. I mean, they come out, they're from the Pueblo, and they made a deal about the fact that they were blaming us for trashing the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, everybody here knows how the wind carries stuff, and we respect that space. However, we could only go so far to the fence line because we were told we were not allowed to go beyond the fence line or we would be fined.
Okay, we got that point. So what else?
We're being blamed for not picking up stuff beyond the fence when we were told that we were forbidden.
Okay, let's
that.
Just stop right there, if I can. And it is a good point. And I do know that what was one of the complaints, now I wasn't there, from the people that morning that say they felt very threatened by particularly the Pueblo police, and that there were you know, some pretty nasty exchanges, allegedly. I was not there. So Juan Concha, talk to me about that. I mean, if this is true and they were told by members of the Pueblo, you cross over here, we're gonna, you know, mm-hmm. there are going to be repercussions.
I wouldn't doubt that throughout, you know, the time that the vendors have been there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there have been certain people from the Pueblo who have gone out there and said, hey, no, don't cross that fence. You'll get in trouble. Look at the sign. However, in the instance that this person, this vendor, is crossing the fence to pick up a piece of garbage, I really doubt that. Even if they were caught, reprimanded, arrested, or whatever, detained, I really doubt that any judge in that judgmental position at the Pueblo would really hold this person accountable for going over to pick up a piece of trash.
Now, what is it?
I mean, we are very traditional, but we are not.
But I wouldn't do it either.
We're not stupid.
I would never do that. I mean, if this lady,
I recognize your name from in here. I'm pretty sure you were the one who was removed from the area under
Well, she said she used to be a vendor, so I don't know about that.
Penalty of arrest or something like that.
But we do know that your dad did meet with the Department of Transportation, and he wanted them to. I was told by the DOT that Edwin Concha wanted those folks out of there, and he was part of the plan to do this in the way that it was done, which was no warning and bringing out state police and the sheriff's department.
But you got to remember, though, right, that my dad has been going out there since March,
yes,
trying to get these people to comply. And then on the same token, been since March trying to get the DOT to remove them because no one was giving any give. And then finally, when it finally came down to it, the state made the move at the last minute. Come on. My dad doesn't have access to that kind of equipment that was out there.
Right. So, are you saying it was
my dad's heavy hand, my dad's hard, very, very strict hand that came down and said, look, Mrs. Martinez, do something now.
Now, are you saying it was about litter?
They got through.
Does it come down to litter?
I think it comes down for him to the bighorn sheep.
Okay.
And again, Mr. Baca is saying, no, that she put it out there for squirrels and stuff like that. Come on, dude, it's the chamisos. There's very, very little wildlife out there besides a couple of field mouses, a couple of chipmunks, maybe some horny toads, some jackrabbits that I'm pretty sure don't come around the vendors because they're so skittish, and the bighorn sheep.
Not only that, a bighorn sheep doesn't, it's not a good idea to ever put food out for wild animals. I don't care if they're squirrels or as you just mentioned, you know, a coyote. Don't do it. It's you're messing with nature. And I agree with you on that one. So we'll take another call and find out what's going on. And again, this whole idea of you've declared war, I mean, this makes me my
That bothers me, too, because really, I mean, if this town were to declare war on the Pueblo, come on. The Pueblo's image is all over this town on the street signs that that point you to the Millicent Rogers Museum, which has absolutely nothing to do with the Pueblo.
Please know, his opinion is a vast minority. Most people are so grateful. If the Pueblo did not protect this land, folks, we would look like Vail. Okay? I mean, the Pueblo doesn't have high rises. They have a, I mean, anyway, have a little respect, though, here. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Jim. I just want to make one more point because I was cut off.
Yes, one more.
Regarding the feeding of potato chips and water, there is a vendor that has left little things of water and maybe some seed or some potato chips, but they were never left on the other side of the fence.
Well, there's a dumb idea, whether it's this side or that side.
In the parking lot for the birds.
Yeah, well, it's not a good idea.
The sheep wouldn't even be able to get to them.
It doesn't matter. I don't know if you've ever seen a sheep bound across the Gorge Bridge, but believe me, that little fence there, the little barbed wire fence, wouldn't be nothing.
Yeah, you are wrong on that one.
So to entice any of the wildlife out there is wrong, because the bighorn sheep are populating that area. By enticing the squirrels and the birds, you're also enticing the bighorn sheep.
Yeah, and I am officially going to say so long. We've had two calls now, and I'm going to ask for other people who haven't spoken yet. 758-5868. I guess I want to say, I don't believe this needs to be a war. Yeah. Your dad is only war chief now for a few more days. You all change every year.
Right. See, and that's why I felt it was so important to come on the air, because he's about to not have a voice, like such a heavy voice in the public eye anymore. So, I mean, to call my dad a disgrace and to say all these things about him and to say that it's his fault that, you know, you're having a bad Christmas this year, you're hurting him. Man, I sit there across from the couch from him, and I look him in the eye when we talk about these things, and man, it hurts him to have to put people that really have no other place to go. But in that same token, you have plenty of other places to go in this town. This town thrives on your kind of business. This town is totally behind you. You have anywhere in this town to go. There's that flea market on over there next to Ace Hardware. There's the area where the Chinese dude and then the Mexicans.